Football Podcast with Dan Casper.
The NFL season is nearly upon us. The start of the regular season starts this week. Preseason football is over with. Training camps, all that stuff is over with. Rosters are cut. Teams got their rosters ready for the start of week one, which is just around the corner. Football season, you know, if you weren't high on the preseason or training camps, if you didn't think football was back then, it's officially back now. This is the Man Cave Football Podcast. I am Dan Casper, your host, as always. Thanks for tuning in to this latest episode. It's a jam-packed episode. We're going to look at some of the biggest news hitting the NFL world, and there's some big ones out there. And when I speak of big ones, I'm talking about big money being shelled out to a lot of players out there. We're going to talk about that. We're going to do some season predictions with the upcoming 2018 season. And, of course, we're going to talk a little green and gold as well. The Packers got their roster down to 53. It's a little bit in flux, but we're going to look at what Brian Gutekunst, first-year general manager for the Green Bay Packers, how he assembled his 2018 Packers squad. Also looking at some of the biggest storylines to follow this season. But let's get right at it with some major headlines in the NFL world, and it deals with some big contracts out there. We had Aaron Rodgers signing his new deal to make him the highest-paid player in history. Aaron Donald finally locked up his long-term deal, was the highest paid defensive player for a short amount of time. That was until Khalil Mack, the Raiders did it. They actually traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears, and then the Bears signed him to a massive deal, making him the highest paid defensive player. And kind of sitting out there, Odell Beckham Jr. got a nice contract as well, making him the highest paid wide receiver in the game right now. Let's go over some of these contracts. I think we all kind of assumed Odell Beckham Jr. was going to be the highest paid wide receiver when he got a new contract. He got his new contract. He didn't hold out. He didn't sit out or anything like that. He got his new contract. Aaron Rodgers, with 2 years remaining on his contract, he got a new contract, making him the highest paid player in history. And it's set up to the fact that maybe he might hold that title for a little bit at least. There's no real big quarterbacks out there that are going to challenge him immediately. You got Russell Wilson. He's going to be looking for his new contract soon. Jared Goff, so the Carson Wentzes, and those guys out there. But it'll be interesting to see if they get to Aaron's level or past Aaron's level, because we've seen quarterback contracts out there. You know, it's pretty much the next man up is going to surpass that. With how Aaron's was structured, will somebody pass him soon, or is it going to wait a couple of years here? So, and Cam Newton also out there as well. So, but no big surprise with Aaron's contract. We all assumed that he was going to be the highest paid player in history, at least for now. Aaron Donald, Rams finally locked him up. The Rams spending a lot of money this offseason, making a lot of moves this offseason. Shelled out a deal for Todd Gurley. Now they finally get Aaron Donald locked up to a long-term deal, making him the highest-paid defensive player in the league for a short amount of time, because then the big news over this past weekend, Khalil Mack on the move. The Chicago Bears traded for Khalil Mack. The Bears gave up their first-round picks in 2019 and 2020, a third-round pick in 2020, and a sixth-round pick in 2019 to get Khalil Mack. The Bears also received a second-round pick in 2020 and a conditional fifth-round pick in 2020. And then the Bears signing Mack to a massive long-term deal to make him the highest-paid player or highest-paid defensive player in the league. So I want to touch on the Khalil Mack move here a little bit more, because going back to the other three, Aaron Rodgers, we knew he was going to be the highest paid player of all time at some point. Aaron Donald finally got his big deal. We assumed he was going to be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid defensive player this year. Odell Beckham Jr., again, no surprise, highest paid wide receiver in the game. But the Khalil Mack one, from the Raiders side of things here, first of all, I don't know what John Gruden's doing with the Raiders right now. I really don't know what he's doing. It sure seems like there's going to be a rift in the brewing between him and Reggie McKenzie. I cannot see Raiders general manager Reggie McKenzie staying long with the Oakland Raiders, because if you listen to some of their comments after the Khalil Mack trade. It sure seems like it's a divided room between Gruden and Reggie McKenzie. So I wouldn't be surprised to see McKenzie leaving the organization, whether it's this year or after this season. But it sure seems like a divided room. But the Khalil Mack thing, I'm a little surprised the Raiders ended up trading him. But I think what surprises me more, you look at what the Raiders had to give up. They gave up Khalil Mack and a second-round pick. I think when you look at it, they gave up a second-round pick, a part of that package too. I don't think the Raiders needed to do that at all. I think they probably could have gotten Mack for two first-round picks and maybe even a fifth-round pick straight up. So I'm not sure why the Raiders decided to put in a second-round pick into that. So just based off, you know, what the Raiders gave the Bears and what the Bears gave the Raiders, I kind of favor what the Bears got in this return because they get a premier defensive player. They also get a second-round pick and then a conditional fifth-round pick. So I don't know why the Raiders had to include that second-round pick in all this. That's a head-scratcher to me. So, but this is going to be a move that's going to be scrutinized. John Gruden making a lot of questionable moves so far this offseason. Raider Nation was pumped to get Chucky back coaching on the sidelines. But now I wonder if there's a little nervousness going around Raider Nation with some of the moves that he's been making with his team. Now, numbers-wise, could the Raiders afford the six-year, $141 million extension that the Bears gave Khalil Mack? It's tough because they just signed Derek Carr to a big contract, their quarterback to a big contract. Amari Cooper, their wide receiver, is probably going to get a nice contract as well. Where I think this works for the Bears, why the Bears were able to do this is because of one thing, and it's their quarterback. The Bears are still paying their quarterback on a rookie contract, Mitchell Trubisky entering his second year. You heard reports that like the Packers were involved with Mack and some of these other teams, the Colts who are paying Andrew Luck and all that. I wonder to what degree they were interested in, and maybe they heard some of the numbers and that's what they backed out. We won't ever know that. But why this works for the Bears, but it's also a big risk for the Bears. But why it works for the Bears is because they are paying that quarterback under a rookie contract. So they're able to take on a big, massive contract like they have with Khalil Mack. But it's also a risk because what this move tells everybody is that GM Pace, Ryan Pace, and the Bears are putting all of their chips, into their quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. That's put more pressure on Trubisky to be able to perform and be that long-term solution at quarterback that the Bears have been looking for a long time. The Bears don't make this move. They don't give up two first-round draft picks unless they have all the chips in on Mitchell Trubisky. And obviously they did last year when they moved up in a draft, one spot in the draft to go get Trubisky. But this really solidifies the stance that they are all in on Mitchell Trubisky, and the Bears are trying to go for it now while Trubisky is still on that rookie contract. That's the main thing to take away from all this, because you look at a lot of the Super Bowl winners in the past years, a lot of them don't have that big quarterback contract on the team. You've got the New England's with Tom Brady and all that, but New England's an outlier and all that sort of stuff. But you look at like what the Seahawks did, that Russell Wilson didn't have that huge contract when the Seattle Seahawks won their Super Bowl. Packers in 2010, Aaron Rodgers had a nice contract, but not the monstrous contract. Even the Broncos, when they won the Super Bowl, they had Peyton Manning on the roster, but their best player was not getting paid his due, and that was Von Miller. Von Miller was the best player on that team, and he got his big contract after the Super Bowl. So, and look at Philadelphia last year. Carson Wentz, yeah, he didn't play in the Super Bowl, but Carson Wentz would have been the MVP last year if he would have stayed healthy. So the Eagles got to the Super Bowl thanks to a lot of games that Wentz won last year. But again, Wentz was on his second year on his rookie deal. So the Bears making this move because they were able to, because they have a quarterback that's under a rookie contract, so they were able to shell out a lot of big money for Khalil Mack. But at the same time, this is a huge risk by the Bears too. This could work out well, or this could fail out miserably. It all depends on Mitchell Trubisky and if he's going to be a solid quarterback for the Chicago Bears. So right now, you know, in terms of what the Bears gave up for Khalil Mack and what they got in return with some of the draft picks, it's not a bad move. It's not a bad move for the Bears. They can afford to take it on. but it's also a big risk move. You know what you're going to get in Khalil Mack, but this puts more pressure on Mitchell Trubisky to make sure that he is the guy for the Bears for the next decade plus, leading this team at the quarterback position. So with the 2018 season starting this week, these are some of the biggest storylines that I'm going to be following throughout the NFL season. We just talked about him, Carson Wentz. Nick Foles getting a start on Thursday night against the Falcons and the Eagles season to defend their title. It's going to be interesting to watch that Nick Foles-Carson Wentz dynamic. Now, Foles, Super Bowl MVP. There was a lot of talk, is he going to be traded this offseason, or would the Eagles hold on to him because of the uncertainty of when Carson Wentz was going to be back and healthy with this team. So Foles kind of had a up and down at best preseason, but again, it's preseason, so let's not take a whole lot of stock into that. But what happens if Nick Foles goes out there and starts balling again right away, just throwing the ball all over the place and making some plays? Is there still an urgency to get Carson Wentz back in the act into the fold as that starting quarterback? Or could the Eagles actually sit Carson Wentz? It's going to be interesting watching that, and a lot is going to be answered, I think, in the first game. I mean, if Foles goes out there and struggles and Wentz is able to come back, say, the next week or at least in a couple weeks, then you're probably going to see Wentz. But what happens if Foles has a solid game Thursday, and he does play the following week and has another solid or good game that week? It makes the decision a little bit harder. Ultimately, Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Okay, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. He was the MVP last year, so I can't see the Eagles moving on from Wentz. That's just not smart football. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly they bring him back into the fold if Foles is playing some really good football to start off the season. So that's one of the biggest storylines that I'm going to be following, at least right away at the start of the 2018 season. Another storyline that I'm going to be following, the Rams. Rams, kind of a surprise playoff team last year, surpassed a lot of expectations last year, were a very good team last year. But the Rams, they really went into it this year, making moves for Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Ndamukong Suh. They added some pieces to that defense. They added some pieces to their offense as well. I mean, re-signing Todd Gurley, trading for Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver from the Patriots. Aaron Donald got his new deal. So the Rams really went for it, or really invested in the now to try to get that Super Bowl. And maybe kind of with the same mindset as we just talked about with the Bears and Mac, trying to go for it now with a quarterback on that rookie contract. Jared Goff entering his third year. Goff had a nice bounce back year last year after a subpar rookie year. So the Rams are another team that's really going for it right now. But a lot of times what we see with some of these teams, they like to spend a lot in free agency. They like to make a lot of moves in free agency. Does that always mean that they're going to go to the Super Bowl? They're going to be a favorite to win the Super Bowl? Right now on paper, they're a favorite for a lot of people. But that sometimes doesn't work. So I'm curious to see, with all those personalities that the Rams accumulated, Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, all playing under Wade Phillips, a big personality himself as the defensive coordinator for the Rams. I'm curious to see, is that all going to work out? Because on paper, that looks pretty good. I mean, you're pairing Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald together. You got two premier corners on the outside there. I'm curious to see if that's all going to work out. I mean, it's not Madden where you can just put all these guys together and you're going to win a lot of games. I'm curious to see if that's all going to work out on the field. So the Rams, maybe the team that's spent the most in terms of contracts and trading players this offseason, curious to see if those high expectations actually work out for the Rams this year. Speaking and going to the Patriots, a team that's always kind of in it at the end, another storyline that I'm going to be following, can the Patriots reign continue this year? Are we going to see the fall of the Patriots' reign at any point? So I'm curious to see the Patriots, because there's a lot of turnover this year with this team. You started to hear some drama towards the end of last year, even a little bit this offseason. So I'm curious to see if there's going to be, if the Patriots' reign of their dominance in football is going to continue this year. I still think they're going to win the AFC East, because the AFC East is so up and down again. I mean, Buffalo was a playoff team last year, but I think they're going to take a downturn this year. The Jets, they got something going with that quarterback Who knows what's going on in Miami? So I think the Patriots will win their division this year. But are they still going to be the Patriots that we have known and come to expect for the last decade plus? So that's another storyline that I'm following. Another one, the comebacks. There was a lot of injuries last year. Just to name a few, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, who we talked about, J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson. I mean, there was a lot of premier players last year that went out due to injury. Those guys are all coming back. So I'm curious to see, can those guys pick up to kind of where they left off? Can J.J. Watt get back to being his dominant defensive playing self? Can Deshaun Watson, who really opened up a lot of eyes last year, can he pick up where he left off? Carson Wentz was going to be the MVP last year. Can he pick up where he left off? A lot of people saying Aaron are predicting Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP this year. He's got a new tight end, Jimmy Graham. Can he pick up where he left off or continue to be that high caliber quarterback that we've known for a while now? So I'm looking at, there's a lot of really talented players making a comeback this year from injury. I'm looking at those guys and seeing if they can get back to the levels that we last saw them at, or maybe even step it up a notch too. Also, kind of similar to that, some familiar faces with new teams. We mentioned Khalil Mack. How does he fit with the Bears and Vic Fangio and that defense? I mean, the Bears, you look at some of those guys on defense, there's some nice, young, talented players on there. Kirk Cousins with the Vikings, is that the missing piece for this team to make that Super Bowl run? We mentioned Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh, all on that vaunted Rams defense. And then Alex Smith, the quarterback that we kind of forget about now, he's over there in Washington. So a lot of familiar faces, but they're on some new teams this year. I'm looking at some of those guys to see how they will fit with their new teams and how those teams have improved with these new guys. And also, my last one, the Patrick Mahomes, kind of going with the Alex Smith thing. Chiefs trading Smith to Washington. They're going with their big-armed young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people out there high on the Chiefs this year, even having them go to the Super Bowl. So I'm curious to watch the Patrick Mahomes hype. And can he lead the Chiefs to a Super Bowl and give Andy Reid his first Super Bowl championship? So I'm really curious to watch the Patrick Mahomes hype train and to see if that actually can come to fruition this year. And sticking with that division, we're all going to be watching the Raiders, right? I mean, Chucky back on the sidelines, John Gruden. Can he really build it? I mean, he's really put his stamp on his team this offseason, bringing in some guys, letting go of a lot of guys too, making some questionable moves that we're waiting to see if it works out. So definitely John Gruden's another big storyline to follow in this 2018 season. All right, now we're at the part of the podcast where you Green and Gold fans have been probably waiting to talk a little Packers. Let's get at it right now. The Packers, their preseason's over with, and Brian Gutekunst, first year general manager, putting his team together. Some questionable, and when I say questionable, I mean maybe like a little, some surprising moves with his original 53-man roster. Originally kept eight wide receivers on his Packers team. Now it's down to seven. Jake Kumerow is going on the injured reserve. Don't know if he'll be able to come back halfway through the season or not, but that's still a lot of wide receivers considering they kept four tight ends as well. I mean, Jimmy Graham can kind of play the wide receiver role there too. So interesting that they kept seven wide receivers. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, there was reports that they were looking to trade Trevor Davis. That didn't happen. You have to wonder if he's the main special teams guy now. And obviously, it looks like the Packers did not want to put one of their rookie wide receivers out on waivers. They wanted to keep them in the house for now, at least. So something to keep an eye on. I don't know if they're going to have seven wide receivers throughout the whole season, but that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. I just think it came down to, you know, Gutekunst wanting to keep the best 53 on his roster right now. And obviously, they have some high hopes for those wide receivers. A lot of unknowns after this year with Randall Cobb being a free agent. So they may want to keep those rookies in-house so they can develop a little bit more. That way they won't have to target a wide receiver next year for the Packers. But the Packers originally keeping eight wide receivers. Now it's down to seven because of Kumerow on the injured reserve. But still a big number considering when the Packers did keep four tight ends with Jimmy Graham, who's going to be a big receiving threat, Mercedes Lewis, Lance Kendricks, and Robert Tonyan also making the team. The Packers didn't keep a fullback this year, which is interesting because during the Mike McCarthy era, the fullback has been a vital piece of the team. And Aaron Rodgers even saying Aaron Ripkowski was kind of approaching John Kuhn territory in terms of where he really trusted Ripkowski back there in the pocket with him, understanding the offense and protection-wise too. So now the Packers not having a fullback, but I think that means you're going to see Lance Kendricks and even Robert Tonyan probably lined up in the backfield, whether it's an H-back or more of a fullback-type role back there. But a little versatility like a guy like Lance Kendricks can bring, I think helped him make this team because he was on that line. I think it was really a tough call between him and Robert Tonyan. But the fact that they're not keeping a fullback and Kendricks, who has some experience lining up in the backfield as that H-back, I think helped him make this team and helped the Packers' decision in not carrying a fullback this year. Now you look at the linebackers, a little interesting there. They only keep four outside linebackers: Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Reggie Gilbert, Kyler Fackrell. Vince Beagle's gone, but right now the Packers only have four outside linebackers. I think eventually they're probably going to add another one, but it looks like for now they're going to just keep the four, and you're probably going to see a lot from the top three. I think you're going to see a lot from Clay Matthews. I hope he's lined up all over the field this year. Nick Perry, he's more of that defensive end, elephant, outside linebacker type role. You could see him with his hand in his dirt or standing up. I think Mike Pettine's going to get a little creative with him. But I also think the Packers have to get Reggie Gilbert on the field. He's shown too much this preseason. He showed some stuff at the end of the regular season. Again, he's kind of like a Nick Perry role. You can put his hand in the dirt. He can stand up. But the Packers have to get Reggie Gilbert on the field. The dude has been making some plays. Get him out there to see if he can make some plays in the regular season too. So I know there's been a lot of talk about, well, the Packers are only going to keep four outside linebackers. They need some more. I would like for them to add one more guy, but I don't know if it necessarily has to be a guy that is a starter or anything like that, because I'm willing to see what Pettine can do with Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, and Reggie Gilbert. I want to see those three guys on the field under a Mike Pettine defense. And this kind of goes with the linebackers as a whole. You got Blake Martinez, Oren Burks. Don't know if he'll be ready for week one. They made a couple moves to bring in some veterans. Here's the thing. The key to this defense is going to be Mike Pettine. I know there's still a lot of Packer fans out there worried about this defense. They're asking, well, did the defense even improve? You know, they're looking at some roster moves. They're looking at the draft picks. And they're like, well, did the defense really improve that much? Here's your answer. We don't know yet. But the biggest move with this defense wasn't just one player here or there. It was the defensive coordinator. This isn't Dom Capers anymore. This is Mike Pettine's defense. This is the big unknown. We can't sit here and say whether this defense is going to be good or bad because it's Mike Pettine. We don't have a track record with Mike Pettine and this Packers defense because we haven't seen it before. We don't know. Don't necessarily look at the whole preseason. That ain't going to tell you a whole lot of things out there. So I've been reading a lot of stuff, and a lot of you have been chiming in saying, well, the Packers defense, they're not even that much better than last year. We don't know. The big thing with this defense is it's a new defensive coordinator. So let's wait and see what Mike Pettine can do with some of these guys. That's what's got me excited about this Packers season, is because I want to see Mike Pettine work with his defensive line. I want to see Mike Pettine work with these linebackers. I want to see Mike Pettine work with this secondary. We haven't seen it before. If Dom Capers was still the defensive coordinator of this team, then yeah, you probably could get a good idea how this defense is going to play out. But we don't know because Mike Pettine is the defensive coordinator. So that's what's got me excited. And that's where I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, the defense is the same as last year, or they're not any better as last year, because we don't know. It's Mike Pettine versus Dom Capers. It's different. So let's give it a few weeks or a couple weeks into the season to see if this defense is for real, or maybe if they're going to have some growing pains this year. Another position on this roster that at first looked a little short was the running back spot. Aaron Jones going to be missing the first 2 weeks due to suspension. But really, I mean, you know, I know there's only two running backs and there was no fullbacks. There were some questions about some depth. And I mean, the Packers tried to do that. They tried to play some games with only one running back on their roster, it seems like at times the last couple of years here. But the Packers, at first, it looked like they were only going to have two running backs, Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. They did bring in the kid from the Dallas Cowboys off their practice squad. Darius Jackson. So I don't know if he's going to get any playing time. You'll probably see it more on special teams than anything. But, I mean, if we've been listening to Mike McCarthy for a while now, it sure sounds like Jamal Williams may be the bell cow of this running back group. I mean, he's predicting a lot of big things for Jamal Williams this year. So, really, you're probably going to see Jamal Williams get the majority of the carries anyways the first couple of games of the season, and Montgomery kind of giving him a breather here or there. But from what we saw in that final preseason game, Aaron Jones looks ready. And, man, that dude was flying all around the place, cutting back and forth. Really wish he would have been ready for, or he'd be able to play in that second game against the Minnesota Vikings, because he looks like the perfect complimentary back to a running back like Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones looked ready to go in that final preseason game. He's easily the best cutting running back on this team right now, change of direction running back on this team right now. He'd be a nice weapon to have going up against not just the Vikings, but even the Bears with their defense too. So it'd be really nice to have that kind of weapon. But nonetheless, the Packers don't. But when he does come back, it's going to be interesting to see how the Packers use their running back rotation. If Jamal Williams goes out there these first two games going up against the Bears and Vikings defenses and has solid games, then yeah, he may be the bell cow. But if they're just average or maybe a little bit subpar, a lot of that has to do with the defense they're going up against. But you may see more Aaron Jones carries. And that's not a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing to go a 1-2 punch with Williams and Jones, because Jones, man, he looked good cutting back into some lanes and change of direction and all that sort of stuff. So, watching him play in that final preseason game against the Chiefs really made you want James, or really made you want Aaron Jones ready for those first two games against the Bears and the Vikings. But dude's got to serve his suspension because of some drug use that he got caught doing. So unfortunate, but that's the rules. So let's look at this game coming up against the Bears. What are my four keys to victory for the Packers with their first game of the regular season going up against the Chicago Bears? My first key to victory, it's an easy one. Protect 12. Protect the franchise. Protect Aaron Rodgers. You look at the Bears defense with Khalil Mack. How effective will he be? Just from a physical presence, he's going to be effective. Now, in terms of knowing the defense and all that, let's face it, Khalil Mack may be a better Khalil Mack the next time the Packers and Bears face each other, but he's still going to be a presence on that field. You add in some other, you got Floyd, you got Roquan Smith. There's some solid players on this Bears defense, and you know Vic Fangio is going to bring some pressure. It's going to put some pressure on Brian Bulaga to test out his knee. Going to put some pressure on David Bakhtiari to test out his ankle. Going to put some pressure on Justin McCray to test out that young guard over there. He's the hopefully the long-term starter, at least in the Packers' eyes, at that right guard position. Fangio's going to put some pressure on him. Protect 12. Good things will happen. Protect the franchise. My second key to victory, score early. I think the Packers have to get up early against the Bears. Don't make this a low-scoring affair where a turnover may decide the game. Put the pressure on the Bears right away. Score early, score often, especially in front of the home crowd at Lambeau Field. And with that kind of goes my third key to victory. Make Mitch Trubisky beat you. Take Juwan Howard in the running game out of it. If you score early, say you're up 14-21-0 right away, you're taking the running game out of the Bears' plans. You know the Bears want to run the ball with Howard and Cohen in the backfield. You know that's what they want to do. They want to dictate that type of offense in this game. Take them out of it. Score early. Make Trubisky beat you. And then my final key to victory goes along with that one. Rattle Mitch Trubisky. Create some turnovers. Hit him in the pocket. Get some sacks. Rattle him. He's still a young quarterback. He's still learning to play in the National Football League. You got a Sunday night primetime game in Lambeau Field. It's Mitch Trubisky versus Aaron Rodgers. You know the nerves is going to be going through that guy. Rattle him. Get him uncomfortable in that pocket. Make him throw some interceptions. Put the pressure on him, and that'll really help out that defense get a big confidence booster in week one as well. So those are my top four keys to victory for the Packers against the Chicago Bears this Sunday night. All right, let's wrap up this podcast with some 2018 season predictions here. Now, let's look at, I got my NFC playoff teams and I have my AFC playoff teams. I'm not going to pick a Super Bowl winner. I know a lot of you out there do that, but so much depends on your Super Bowl winner. A lot of it is health. That's kind of the main thing. It really is. And luck. It's luck and health. But I'm going to pick my top six NFC playoff teams and my top six AFC playoff teams. And I'll give a couple teams within those that I'm really excited to see this year. And I think the sky's the limit for those teams. But for my number one seed, I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to buy in the hype a little bit. I like what they did bringing in. I think those personalities on defense are going to fit under Wade Phillips. I think those, you know, the Marcus Peters, the Kube Talibs, Ndamukong Suh, got Aaron Donald. I think Wade Phillips is going to be able to manage those guys on defense. And you look at the division they play in, Seattle's going to be down this year. Arizona could be sneaky solid, but they're no match to the Rams. I know there's a lot of talk about the 49ers and Jimmy G, but still, I mean, losing Jarrett McKinnon, their running back, I think is going to be a big loss for them. But you look at that division, the Rams should easily run away with that division. I think that helps propel them to the one seed in the NFC. Vikings, I got at the number two seed. I mean, you look across the board, they've got good players all across the board. I think their biggest weakness is probably the offensive line at this point, but you got Kirk Cousins, an established veteran back there, Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray in the backfield, Adam Thielen, Diggs as your wide receivers. I think the Vikings are solid all across the board. I got them at my number two spot. Falcons, I have at number three. I have them winning the NFC South this year. My number four team, I'm going with the Eagles. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, but that NFC East, Dallas is not a playoff team. Washington's not a playoff team. I think the Giants are going to be a sneaky, decent team this year. I like what they've made, the moves that they've made in the offseason. It's really helped out this team. I mean, they addressed the biggest needs that they needed to address. They upgraded their offensive line. They got the running back to finally help out Eli Manning. If Odell Beckham Jr. stays healthy, he's going to put up big numbers. I think they still got a lot of nice pieces on that defense. So the Giants may be one of those sneaky teams to kind of pay attention to this year. My two wild card teams in the NFC, my fifth seed, I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. Good things will happen. I think he's the one quarterback you can probably guarantee 10-plus wins. The other one is probably Tom Brady at this point. My sixth seed, I'm going with the Saints. I think you're going to see two playoff teams coming out of the two best divisions in the NFC, and that's the NFC North and that's the NFC South. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the Packers and Vikings flip-flop, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Saints and Falcons flip-flop. I think the best division in football is the NFC South when you add in the Carolina Panthers in that mix right now. But, I mean, you look at that NFC North, that's going to make it a run for its money in the best division in football. Bears got obviously better with Khalil Mack. If Trubisky can perform at a high level in his sophomore year, then you got the Lions, Matthew Stafford, franchise quarterback over there. They're going to be sneaky good too. So the NFC North, I think, is going to make a run at the NFC South for the best division in football. But overall, I like the Rams and Vikings to be the top two seeds, Falcons, Eagles, Packers, and Saints. Looking at the AFC, this one, honestly, it's kind of up in the air for me. I'm good with my top six teams. I'm just not confident in the order that they're going to finish. I got the Steelers at number one, and that's assuming Le'Veon Bell is going to play the majority of the season. I got New England at number two because look at the division. I mean, Jets, I think they're finally on track to be decent in the future with Sam Darnold. The Bills were a playoff team last year, but I think they take a big step down this year. I don't know what's going on in Miami. So the Pats, they get the second seed. Jaguars, I have as the third seed, again, led by that defense and Leonard Fournette running the football. Chiefs, I think, win the AFC West right now. The Raiders, I don't know what John Gruden's doing right now. I know there's a lot of love for the Chargers this year, too, but I think the Chargers just suffered a lot of injuries this year, and I think that comes to haunt them this year. So I'm going with the Chiefs as my AFC West division winner. Texans, I got as a wild card, and I'm going to say this right now. I would not be surprised at all if the Houston Texans win the AFC South. If Deshaun Watson stays healthy and plays like he did last year, that they got their quarterback. If J.J. Watt is healthy and gets back to J.J. Watt level, one of the best defensive players in the league right there. And then you're putting Watson with Bernard Hopkins. I like the pieces down there with the Houston Texans. And if the main guys stay healthy, watch out for the Texans this year. I really like the Texans. And they got the Honey Badger now on the back end, too. Tyrann Mathieu playing safety over there. So a versatile defender playing behind J.J. Watt. It's going to be a nightmare for offenses going up against that defense. And we didn't even mention Jadeveon Clowney, too. So I really like the Texans this year. And then my sixth seed, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. I think Flacco, he got the hint. He had a solid preseason. Now, again, it's just preseason. But he's going to play with a little chip on his shoulder. I like the Baltimore defense. I think they're sneaky good. A lot's just going to depend on the Baltimore offense this year. That's what held them back last year. I think Flacco plays better this year. So I like the Ravens as being that sneaky team to get into the playoffs because I think their defense is still going to be lights out or at least dominant. And I think Flacco plays just a little bit better than what he did last year, and that will propel them to get into the playoffs this year. So those are my NFC playoff predictions. Those are my AFC playoff predictions. How about some individual awards? MVP, a lot of people picking Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go on that boat, too. I just think, you know, you got Jimmy Graham. You're giving him Mercedes Lewis on top of that. He's got the best tight end group in the National Football League. He's got a playmaker in Devontae Adams on the outside. He's got his go-to guy in Randall Cobb, a big trust guy right there in Randall Cobb. He's got some options behind him running the ball. He's got a decent starting offensive line. That starting offensive line needs to stay healthy, though. But Aaron Rodgers, I just think he's got too many weapons. He's going to put up big numbers this year. He's my MVP. My offensive player of the year, going to go off the wall a little bit. I'm going to go David Johnson, the running back from the Cardinals. And listen to me here. Sam Bradford's going to be the quarterback, okay? Bradford likes to dink and dunk a lot. Johnson's a threat out of the backfield, not only running the ball, but catching the ball. So I would not be surprised to see David Johnson put up some big numbers, both catching and rushing this year, because of who his quarterback is. Now, when Josh Rosen comes in, will it change that much? I don't know. I mean, if Josh Rosen all of a sudden is the starting quarterback, that's a nice go-to guy, a nice safety valve to have in David Johnson to dink and dunk to him. So that's where I think David Johnson, he may be the guy to watch this year as your offensive player of the year, because I think with the quarterbacks on this roster, he's going to put up some numbers rushing, but also catching the ball. My defensive player of the year, I'm going to go Von Miller from the Denver Broncos. I think he's one of the best defensive players in the league, but I also think he's going to really put up some big numbers this year because Bradley Chubb's on the team now with him. So I think it's the Chubb factor. Miller, he's put up numbers throughout his career, but I think now that he has a sidekick with him to rush the passer, that's really going to improve Miller's numbers this year. So I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year because of that. My comeback player of the year, J.J. Watt, sticking on the defensive side. You have some good options. I mentioned David Johnson. He could win it. Deshaun Watson could win it. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will get some attention for it as well. But I'm going to go J.J. Watt this year on my comeback player of the year. Coach, you can call me on the Houston Texans bandwagon, if you will. I'm going to go Bill O'Brien. I think the Texans get to the playoffs this year, and I think the Texans are going to be a force in the playoffs this year. So my head coach of the year, my prediction, Bill O'Brien. Offensive rookie of the year, going Saquon Barkley, the running back from the Giants. I think you're going to see numbers from him all over the place, both rushing and catching the ball. And then finally, my defensive rookie of the year, I'm going Minkah Fitzpatrick, safety from the Miami Dolphins. I think he's going to be a player that the Dolphins are going to use all over the field as a corner or safety on that defense, and he's going to be an impact defender on that team. One of the bright spots on the Miami team this year. All right, that's it for this edition of the Man Cave Football Podcast. Big show, but now we're getting into regular season games. The regular season starting this week. Enjoy the games, everybody. We'll be back at it again, wrapping up week one and looking ahead to week two. This is the Man Cave Football Podcast with Dan Casper.